Clinic Radio Health Minute. I'm Tracy McCray. No matter how much you wash your face or apply anti-acne ointment, breakouts still happen. Dr. Don Davis says there are four main factors that cause overgrowth: oil production, and bacteria called Propionibacterium or PFB.
That bacteria grows on our skin all the time. But then once we get on another topic, oil production, the PFB comes in.
have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here, and just looking to get out there and enjoy it. So, so many things to talk about, and I understand there's a couple of people out there had a couple of things they wanted to talk about, and I asked them to call in. So I don't really know what it is that they. I was in route here, so I didn't have time to talk. So 524-1080 is the number if you want to call and follow up on your telephone call to me. But a couple of things going on. Looking pretty good. I see the mayor is getting all kinds of accolades for the signing a letter, sending a letter in a protest and forbidding, basically. I'm just playing with words here, but to prohibit any formal travel of city workers or city business with Mississippi. Now, that would be good if the state did that, because, you see, our schools run neck and neck with Mississippi, and so we should, apparently that's where our educators and the officials that run the schools here, public schools, actually consult with Mississippi, and because we're always at the bottom of the pile with Mississippi, so you understand. And we also see a substantial amount of religious, devout Christians not understanding separation of church and state, not in putting a statue in the Capitol or anything of that nature, but just simply be kind to others. Your belief is your belief, and when it creeps over the side of the wall or the other fellow's fence or the other lady's fence and start to dictate their lives, then it's no longer religion. It's religion. And that's what you be provoking and projecting on others. But there was this effort, and mind you, I'm not taking issue with people, what they do and how they spend their time and ink and their microbits and megabytes for their memory on their computers. But I would suggest that the mayor has an obligation to speak out and fight injustices that is projected on its people, that the people that he represents. So Mississippi, North Carolina, or South Carolina, wherever they are, and we shouldn't do business with them, not because of the gay and lesbian community, but anyone that would suffer from the hands of this effort because of religion and discriminatory. And I know there's a debate about right to do this, and it's their right to sell a gay person bread or not, or bake a wedding cake. But I would say, for me personally, if you were to ask my opinion, I would say that if someone is that mundane, that manini, to think that life is based on baking a cake for a person that's gay or not gay or racial intermarriage or what have you, transgender or whatever it is, if that's where their world is built around, then we should isolate them, leave them be, don't try to change them, but not interact, not benefit, because trading with them, spending money with them, does nothing more than nurture and enhance their role as preachers and teachers, and we shouldn't allow that. So the mayor doing this, I'm concerned that we don't see the bigger picture, that this is the same mayor that actually, if you were to put Adolf Hitler in the name after mayor, you would see some similar actions or building up to the actions of Hitler. And that is how we have treated the homelessness issue. and that his inability to resolve it, it's a monumental task, but he has spent more time chasing the visible aspects of homelessness so that he can politicize it, and failing to do what he's mandated to do by description of his position in managing these issues as a mayor. And he even have a department that addresses that, that speaks to that, that is funded by federal. And we see so much money. So jokingly I say that the governor of Mississippi would have a right to say to Caldwell, my people will no longer be going to Hawaii for any purpose because the way you treat the homeless issues. And in fact, the way you treat the gay and lesbian community. You, on one hand, you're saying, well, we're not going to do business with Mississippi because of their stance on the lesbian and gay community and in opposition to it. But your failure to address the homeless issues, and there are many people that are gay and teenagers that are gay, and others that have problems and that seeking justice and can't get justice, and you're adding to their, you're complicating their lives by failing to address these issues. And we're going to be talking about many of things that just ring sour to leaves a very nasty taste when I see people celebrating one aspect. We're in this boat together, folks. You know, we fight for lesbian and gay and transgender communities equally. We want justice for everybody. But when we smell that little bit of a ray of, and see that ray of hope, and then we go out and pronounce the mayor as a heroic entity, he's not. Let's not forget the Micronesians, the Polynesians, the Hawaiians, and the African Americans, and the less fortunate here, financially impacted, impaired, that are still sleeping on the streets, and we're glorifying his action. So that, to me, I saw this effort, and I thought, gee, I thought we were fighting for justice for everyone. I didn't know we were going to, at some time, say to the mayor, you did a good job. You should be czar now. No, you just, that's a good example of what you can do and what you should be doing. And pushing the city council and pushing HUD to prosecute people that abuse the monies that it awards to city agencies. Oh, I'm sorry, that would be asking to prosecute yourself, though. That would, how dumb of me. But anyway, so much about that. And 524-1080 if you want to call in. But a bigger concern is that here, how many of you, we talk about the rail and what, how much it costs. And this morning, I heard talking, estimated now it's $7 billion. But it costs more than that. And I don't think we'll ever be able to quantify the total cost. But let's just go back and look at some of the socioeconomic costs. Just let's take the current issue in the news now, the Ethics Commission. Now, the Ethics Commission, one wouldn't connect that with the rail. But Mayor Kirk Caldwell and others, to include the city council, know that the monies that are awarded and budgeted and set aside for specific issues and management of our daily activities in city government is being cut, nipped, taken, hidden, spent improperly. And remember we reported here where the city, just in the parks down in Waikiki, didn't have toilet paper in the restroom. That comes from the city government being so obligated to the rail, that you and I will never, ever see the dollar amount that it really costs, that it really, really costs the taxpayer, you and I, the citizens of this city. And furthermore, you will have a situation where the Ethics Commission, now, you see what Chuck Tuttle, and we've often said here that there is very little ethics in the Ethics Commission. So don't be bothered if I say things, because you've heard me, if you've listened to this show. I don't hold the, quote, Ethics Commission in high esteem, both state and city. And I say that because I've gone to the Ethics Commission, and I've also referred a number of people with substantial complaints and substantial charges, and they get washed and blown off. So when we see, looking at the Ethics Commission, I don't know if you have the occasion to look at it, but who are we really dealing with? Now, in the who's who of law and the judicial system, you may not know if, and this may be the first time, and some of you that are aware of this, then going back to watching the golf game. But for those of you that are interested in this subject, so you have the chair, Victoria Marks. And this is what's puzzling. When you look at the caliber of people, and these are people with, I envy them just for what they have accomplished. Not forget what they're doing on the Ethics Commission. I just can't believe the background and the makeup of their background of the Ethics Commission. And so I want to share with you the first one, the commissioners are. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 commissioners. And the one is Honorable Victoria Marks. She's retired. Her service will expire 12/31/19. And she's no lightweight. Very great, awesome background, everything. So it's puzzling how we could have such tattered, ragged approach with this Ethics Commission and to see what's going on. And this is not to speak ill of the commissioners. There's something more troubling that I can't tell you what it is. But if we lose control over the ethics of this city, then we fall prey to people that want to build a $3 billion rail that blossoms into a $7 billion. That's what they're saying, but it's more than that because no one has looked at the sociological impacts. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead. Come in.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
You know, this rail thing, if one of these mayor elections, mm-hmm. one guy would just come out of nowhere and say, I am going to tell you the real cost of this rail system. Mm-hmm. He'd probably win 50,000 votes right there.
Mm-hmm.
People are tired of being lied to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean it. I think he could win 50,000 votes just on the truth to bring in a big Martin, Codwell, who's the other guy, the district attorney or whatever. All three of them know what is going on.
Carlisle.
You know? And they know the facts and the figures. They just don't want to bring them out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because somebody will have to take accountability.
Right.
And somebody will be accountable for lying to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's just sickening. Every day I hear this, that, and the other, the rail. Nothing has worked out for that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the facts, they've had delays, bad concrete, you know, the publicity against it. I don't see how they can keep going. They better stop that thing at the stadium, at the defunct stadium, which is going to be because the place is falling apart. You know what I mean? I don't know where to stop for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, here's my observation and concern is that this rail is so demoralizing and demeaning that it will render the average citizen of this city and this state, or if others were to view how it was put in place and shoved down our throat and manipulated and the lies, we may be discouraged and no longer even consider ourselves Americans, because there is nothing that was done. The checks and balances seem to have been stripped and ripped and compromised. Absolutely nothing. You understand, it's like watching a battle of armies, and you see yours just failing every time. And so eventually you're going to say, well, gee whiz, I might as well succumb now and give into the, and see what I can get out of, if I can extend a little life, if I go to the enemy. Well, that's what it appears. You get that nasty feeling that nothing, there's no hope, no one's going to stand up and speak the truth.
You give up and join the other side of me, I don't know, bro.
Yeah.
It could be. It's a third world mentality we have here. You know, we can't do a damn thing. These guys are going to railroad us over, and, you know, it's just no way out.
Is it really a third world situation, or is it a first world that is what we really have a chance to see if we don't participate in government, if we don't understand government, and then if we don't vote with our conscience?
We're slipping right into their game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. See, I don't believe it's third world. I believe it's one of the most sophisticated strategies, because remember, we had Senator Danny Noy, and we got Mazie Hirono, and anybody that has ability or a small drop of know in them seem to have been married to this thing called the rail.
Yeah, if they would have talked up, you know, like the first guy, you know, Illinois, he should have said, nah, this ain't going to work. But he was so ingrained, embedded with these guys, he cannot say anything but that.
Yeah, his contingency gets to make money. You got the Hanabusas who go and work for now Hart, and who then represents the city councilmen who were accused and allegedly doing, you know, violations of ethics laws. So this is just me speaking. I watch this and I look and I think, in 10 years, we look at our lands now, whole Pele. We look, the Supreme Court is ruling. The court makes a ruling, but we see now the other development that's going to go on. You understand?
Yeah, they're not going to stop the government, because the things are already rigged. This island is going to be mastoid, you know, gridlock, mastoid people.
And we know already, for example, this traffic and all. So do we rely on individuals to stand up and thrust themselves on the sword, or what do we do? Do we just become marshmallows and waiting for the chocolate to be poured over and roasted? Something's wrong.
Yeah, we're roasted already. You know, we're turning black. You know, where they pull out the thing and you go back to white, and then they're going to put it back on the fire again and give you another toasting.
Yeah.
Because we ain't getting away from this. Unless somebody stands up in this mayoral thing, it's going to be Joe Blow. To say, look, I'm going to get in there, and there ain't going to be no BS. Whatever it is what it is, and we're going to explain it to the public so we can vote, you know, intelligently instead of being fleeced and farced.
Now, hold on 1 second here. I mean, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comments.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I hope I'm consistent with the focus of the program.
There is no focus here. You know that.
I do not want to distract from whatever is happening.
I like the shotgun approach, Richard. You know better.
All right. Well, Hart never had the money. They can't raise their own money. We, the taxpayers, pay. If they had to pay, they couldn't. The president, the mayor, the legislature, the city council, they're the ones that give the Hart the money, and they keep doing it. I have to support Ann Kobayashi on this point, because I've heard her many times say no to general obligation bond lines of credit, memorandum of understanding. However, her vice chairman will say yes, and that's how it gets through. From the beginning, nothing was done right from the first time. And it affects, if you've just said, I've held up the fiscal pie charts in front of the council as I left and said, how are you going to put Hart and steel wheel on steel rail on your new pie chart next time? What should happen is the common services should come first. They should meet expectations, and there should be an indication of success, empirical validity, that they've acted on behalf of the people. And I could go on.
So Richard,
please,
Richard.
Please do.
So now, if we look at this, we praise, and I like Ms. Kobayashi as well, but there's a train over our head now. You know, it used to be at our level, reachable. Now it's over our head, literally. So here's the question. She presents herself as objecting on many occasions, but then when it comes to voting, does she vote with reservation?
No. You must understand, there is a bill, a proposal, and she will say, I cannot pass this to the second or third reading because the taxpayers are going to be hurt. You have not justified you. I'll very quickly hope I'm...
Well, wait now. Now we want to be focused. I'm asking you, has she ever on the rail has voted with reservations on anything?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to check because I think we it's like Mary Poppins being at the drug shop. It's you know, look, we got a problem here, and somebody is to blame. You can't have all angels and angel face sitting around and things going to hell in the handbasket, and we still can't put our finger. It's just not Ernie Martin. It's just not Kirk Caldwell. It's not just Kimberly Pine. It's the whole group. It's Manahan. It's not Manahan.
It's the conglomerate of all of them.
You understand? So one complements the other, and I'm trying. I feel like you, me, and others are bogged down in a swamp, and we're struggling just to get to the solid ground, even just to make an observation.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem something is just not connecting here. And in the meantime, when they have a chance to vote no on the increase of GET or whatever they want to get when...
Yes, I'm familiar with that.
So what happened? What happens? It gets passed, right?
Yes, because it's a conflict of interest. And I'm not going to go back into Garcia, but they've all got a conflict of interest.
Right.
You've got Elefante, who discloses conflict of interest, and he's one of the leading proponents of the rail. You've got Pine at worst with him, Man at worst with him, Manahan goes through, there's four. Now you've got four people on the council. And the most important group on the council is the Budget Committee, and Ann Kobayashi's chairman of the Budget Committee. But when she says no to these proposals for money, Manahan will overrule her because he's vice chair and she's got votes on the Budget
Committee. But it's just, I think I don't want to portray her as being the person with all the weight on her shoulders, because I think equally all of them have a responsibility. What I'm speaking to and asking the question is, where's the hope? All the checks and balances in theory are not balanced, and they're not checking.
Well, there is no checks and balance, and you have proposed this many times. It's up to the people.
Mm-hmm. So for example, you know, with Elefante, he's new on the scene, right?
Yes.
And the music was playing when he walked on the stage, and he had his own dance that he wanted to do, but somehow someone told him, no, that dance is old. This is a new dance.
Yeah, it ain't going to work.
it seems like it's that kind of a scenario.
Yeah. Now he's doing a deer bug. He's jumping from one thing to another. He's not really sticking to what he promised.
This is how they all got in. It was by design. It was by corruption. It was by buying or providing them with enough money to run a campaign.
Yeah, well,
deceit.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember something that stands out to me and reminds me that Manahan was a state representative, right?
Exactly.
And then Cotrola was a city council. So somehow in passing, as they were crossing the street to get from Honolulu Holly to the Capitol, hey, why don't we switch roles? I'm being facetious now, but again, why don't you take my seat in city council now? Because the hounds on my tail right now, the hounds are nipping at my ankles because this is Cotrola. Because, see, I got some ethics problems. Well, why don't you just run for the seat, and I'll not run against you, and then I'll run for it, and you help me with your votes over there. You tell the people. Yeah?
Exactly. Reed Horimoto, Cachola, Dela Cruz all went from the city council up to the state legislature, mm-hmm. and down from the state legislature, the revolving door, Manahan, Menor, et cetera, come down. So they're all bought, though. They're all they're committed to the rail, and they're committed to the general excise tax, and some council members don't want to touch the real property tax, but they're going to have to, because if they're going to allow this project to go through, that's what they're going to have to do to get their money, because they don't have enough money. They can't raise their own money. The problem is they're semi-autonomous. They have eminent domain.
Hey, Richard, they can raise their own money. All they got to do is walk around there and glad hand the GMO companies and the developers, and that's who you see them hanging out with in their $25 lunch plates and the $500 lunch plate. They, you know, what citizen can give them $500 for lunch?
Well, these politicians, they know where to go to get the money. Don't worry.
But
there's no history for them guys. Like you said, the GMO... The developers, they got big cash.
You know,
give to these guys.
You know what bothers me, and you guys help me out on this. I served 3 years in the Army, and I'll go again. They don't even have to ask me. Give me the circumstance, and I'll volunteer. I'll be there. I don't care, old and tattered. I'll be there. But. And because I believe in there's this thing called America, and that's what it's about. It's not perfect, but we can work to make it perfect. So here's the deal. You notice that the city council and all, they praise the soldiers and all, but they don't act in an American way to compliment what these soldiers are going abroad and fighting for, what they stand for, you know, freedom and civil rights and justice and a free country, right, and a democracy. They don't behave like a democracy, so something's wrong here. And the sad part about it is, they're obvious. They're overt about it. They're not concealing it. It's like, well, I got caught doing this, and the penalty is this. Oh, don't worry. Go see Cal, and Cal will take care of it, right? And we're going to be talking about the Ethics Commission more and the redacted document. I posted it on carolcox.com. Report from the Ethics Commission regarding the Chuck Tato matter where he was suspended. So if you're interested in seeing that document, go to carolcox.com, and we've posted it up there.
I think I have a TV that works now.
All right.
All right.
But now I got to figure out how to do it. It goes to the deep culture, Mr. Cox. It goes to philosophy, sorry, abstract ethics. Morality, they're unconscionable unless you have a conscionable group has the power. Nothing's going to change. It doesn't. I've been before Grabowskis and Hanneman and Caldwell and all of them, eyeball to eyeball, elbow to elbow. Some of them are like zombies. They've got a job to do. They do their job. They don't give a damn about the consequences. Then they're going to get the hell out of here. Bye.
Yeah, but where does it start, though? I mean, you take, for example... No one stands up. Now we're talking Grabowskis should be leaving. He should be removed, and Horner should be removed. So I'm thinking, well, you were intimate with this situation, Mr. Ernie Martin, and so now.
Exactly.
Right?
Election.
What do you think? I'm lost. I honestly...
Well, no, Martin has been for the rail, and he has been teetering back and forth politically, and now there's going to be a election, and now he's going to confront Caldwell. And as we talk, and for years, everybody has known exactly what has been going on. There is no change. It's constancy of purpose to make sure that it's not about moving people. It's about transit-oriented development. The developers and everybody else have got them these in their pocket. But now that there's election, I think that I like Mr. Martin to a certain extent. But now, if he were to change and go against the rail, it would help him. But he was an advocate for the rail, so...
But is he massaging the public and duping the public with this gratuitous, oh, I think we ought to get rid of this guy, when in fact He has been instrumental. Where was he being vocal when we were assembling the actual hard board?
Yes.
The composition of the board was sufficient enough to raise concern.
See, the hard board was elected or picked by the mayor and by the governor and by, and they're all for the rail. And now Grabowskis has received two raises for the great work that he has done. And Horner and Caldwell could be chairman of the hard board, and Horner could be mayor, and it doesn't make any difference. They're in together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And going back, I'm sorry to go back into something abstract, but it's philosophical, it's ethic, it's morality, and they're unconscionable, and you're not, the only way is get them out, or number two, give them more money, or I don't know what you do.
Give who more money, the rail?
Pardon me?
You say give them more money?
Well, yeah, because you've got to change their actions. They have the power to act. The Charter Commission has the power to make the laws. The reason why the Budget Committee is so important and why Ann Kobayashi is so important, because from the top it goes down to the Budget Committee and to Ann Kobayashi. She is an obstacle, and she's an obstacle. They've gotten around with people like Garcia and Chang and all of them.
So we've talked about Garcia, Chang, and the whole bunch. Who's actually owning these people? Who is it out there? What companies, what big names own these people? They're not acting, because I've known many of these guys, and I've talked to them. They're not bankers. They're not lawyers. They're not deep thinkers. I'm trying to figure out who are
infraculture in infra. I'm very upset now. Breaker off. Any of the developers who have property around the stations are going to pay them. They've got Pacific Resource Partnership, etc. They're the big corporations, big money. International, national, local, big money in terms of a gestalt, meaning everything is involved, interconnected, organic, and they're the ones that are giving the politicians the money.
Mm-hmm. But they also must be giving the politicians, because I don't see any of them with a degree in engineering or construction or anything.
The hard board has power. They have not one engineer, and never has.
No. I mean the city council and all those people, and talking about TOD.
Transit-oriented.
TOD. And none of those people have a full understanding of that. So there's got to be someone with their hands up the back of their shirt telling them what to do, when to do.
Puppets they are.
Because this thing is complex. I mean, more so than getting something to the moon, because it takes a lot of moving parts. And I haven't seen one person in our state or city or federal government that has a capacity to be debt aware and that much knowledgeable of it where they could do these things. So who is and where is this ability to look the taxpayer in the eye and say, well, you know, we're going to put this on it. Well, we're going to ask you a different way. And then, oh, they say they want it. Well, we never said we wanted it. But now we got it, and now who is teaching the people, the city council, and all how to do these things?
In other words, who is the master conniver, the guy that's putting all these little pieces together to make this rail look feasible and get all that money?
Mm-hmm.
There is somebody behind it. You said the puppets are just, you know, talking, you know.
Is it
the puppet?
Is it just a group of people that's financially profiting, and so because it's taxpayers' money and there's no end to how much you can write a check for, so, well, we want to do this. Is it just this simple? Well, we want to do this, and we can make some money, not the taxpayers. And, well, how do we do that? Well, we need an engineer. We need an engineering firm. We need a public relations firm. Well, how are we going to pay for that? Well, just take it out of the taxpayers' money. And so is it that simple that where you have a few people that were appointed to heart and a few people that has land and has control, and even the mayor has an interest in real estate? You know, if you look at his territorial, there's some company he owns there. But again, you look at all of that. There got to be someone in the back room. Is it you, Richard?
Yeah, Ann Kobayashi once asked me, that's just with my microphone, Richard DeCarney, would you co-sign for Hart? And 3 hours later, they escorted me out by the police. I could go on here. Mr. Cox, I do not know a specific name, but when Howard Hughes can build on a $37 million suite, now start with that kind of person, that kind of power. They've got the money, they delegate the money and the campaign contributions and the ability. Pacific Resource Partnership, Horner as chairman of... When asked about, are we going to put these up and tear them down because you don't have enough money, Horner said, well, do you want to send the boys back to the bench? So it's about the unions, it's about big money, and they have the power because of the government.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's frightening, I can tell you that, and I look at it, and if this is what we're to learn about America, and this is where we're headed, you might as well take the flag down now and turn it upside down period. It's over. I mean, if this...
Make it black like a pirate flag.
This rail thing, forget it that it's a rail. It's just the whole workings of it and how demoralizing and demeaning and disenfranchised many of people. They have no clue. It's like we're zombies.
If this is what bothers me the most, is you're exactly right. That people don't understand how detrimental this is to it is total side at gate. It could be and should be investigated. I understand that very soon there's going to be an audit on Hart. They just finished an audit on the Andy Van, and that's more into that, but not now. And the auditor, I was skeptical, but for the Handy Van, he did a hell of a job.
Yeah.
It was excellent.
But then who once again, an audit is one thing and telling us where the woes are, but, you know, it's like going and having a nurse look at a lump, and then you say, but now you got to go see someone that is experienced in this and knowing what to do to get rid of it, right? So the audit shows, oh, here's all the symptoms, here's some of the problems, we know where it caused it.
Get somebody to
and then you ask, yes. Yeah. And that's something I've learned, I've observed, Richard and Bob, in my years of meddling. and this is what I observe. The audit, that process in itself has become a means of manipulating the public because we think, an audit, oh my God!
Yeah.
And then, well, and it comes out, it was scathing, and boom! And here you are. Guess what? Nothing happens. The city or the state or the entity that is a target or of that audit, subject of that audit, gets to sit there and look at the auditor's results, and then the public never see that until it's finally they hashed it out what is right, what is wrong, and then the city, for example, in this recent audit with the H Power, the city had really no basic statement. They said we'll refer to the auditors and to the managing director's statement. You see, even though it was cockeyed, the point is it was just bad.
Enforcement, there is no enforcement, there are no conclusions, there's no empirical evidence of the problem being solved. It goes back to the words that you you've been saying your sentiments, it's enforcement. You do all of this investigation, all these audits, in terms of the handyman, okay, excellent audit. What are you going to do now? In terms of the rail, heart, and the audit comes out, now what are you going to do now? Who is going to enforce this? It's got to be a person in government. However, if government people aren't going to do it, it's up to the people.
Yeah, and but when you know, when the this place is so flawed with un-American behavior, and that is, oh, we're a democracy. Do you guys agree with that, or am I on drugs?
It's crony capitalism.
Okay, well, I believe it's democracy. I believe
democracy is direct vote. This is a republic. We have representatives that are, look,
right, right. I understand that part, but at my level, see, I'm like the mushroom. I'm down here at the lower level, right? So I'm thinking to myself, okay, we can vote these guys out, right?
Yeah.
That's a general consensus, right? And we ascribe to that. Here's the problem. We all agree this place has so many obstacles built in our everyday lives now, in our process. Nagy, remember him?
Who is
that? Nago, I can't think. The voting head, the guy that handles all the voting, Nago.
Oh, yeah, no, okay, I don't know it, but I know what
you mean. All right, so what are we noticing about voting, the process of voting here in this democracy? Either they don't deliver enough ballots, or there's some complicity in some obstacle was presented, or something presented itself that obstructs access to voting. And the process, long lines and what have you, and then the hours. What does that suggest?
Manipulation.
Of course.
You know, we cry about you know, all of the capitalism and this and that and but the reality is, if we take this look at everything, we're no better off. We make fun of the third world countries, but at least they change. We're growing into the same thing and becoming more complex in our weaknesses.
Well, there's no accountability, there's no responsibility, they're not holding themselves responsible, and it's up to the people to hold them responsible. When you say vote, vote takes time, but in a republic, your people that are running are picked, and there's not much of a choice between the people.
But you can't pick them either, because guess what? Like I say, they are what? They're not bringing enough ballots, or some places polls are not opening.
Of course. It's happening across the country.
Yeah.
Well, if they see a cheat in the system, they'll use it, you know, against the voter, you know, what you're saying. And you talk about third world countries. The only way that they change, you know how the only way to change it was revolt or some kind of revolution.
Yeah.
You know, the people, I'm not...
I dread that thought, you know, that...
The capital, but something has to be done.
Yeah.
Well, the perfect word your gentleman caller just used, the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. It's a big word to use, but hey, it's the reality.
Yeah.
Because unless I've tried to follow it for a long time, and I've tried to be polite, civil, and so forth. But until I'm from San Francisco, I understand agitation more than agitation during the civil rights. It seems to me that it's time now for civic responsibility on behalf of the common good of all the people, and it might mean agitation.
Yeah, my friend used to say he was from Red City. What is Redwood City, is it?
Redwood.
And he used to say the difference between Redwood City and what's it, money? Is it?
Yeah, I know.
And we have sour dough. San Francisco has sour grapes.
Yeah, well, San Francisco got through civil rights along with Birmingham and Chicago, and if it didn't for places like San Francisco, Birmingham, and Chicago, civil rights might be here now, but it wouldn't have been there then.
Now, what he was saying is that you don't want to go in and step in the way of people in San Francisco. They will eat you for lunch when it comes to...
Oh, no, absolutely. I've campaigned with different people.
Yeah.
The governor pro tem and so forth.
Yeah.
And I was at San Francisco State College when Hector Cow was on top of the band with his horn, when they were in the halls with ash can tops and hammers, and I was at the Cadillac dealership with 500 kids who went in and on a circular staircase and stopped the whole operation. Yeah. I was there for all of that.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
Hold that thought, and then we're down to the last couple of minutes, and I'm going to take a break here. But if you'd like to call back, I'm going to talk about this this ethics commission, and there's some
please,
points. And,
please do. Thank you, Mr.
All right, Bob, and thank you. Call back if and
thank
others
you,
out there.
Bye. Good conversation. Keep
all
it
right.
Up.
All right. Aloha.
Talk to you later.
Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
Don't you give your love to sexy Ida, 'cause she's the sister of a black widow spider. And if you give her your love, you might as well give it to the spider. Let me tell you, she got all.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, you can pick us up at carolcox.com. All of the shows previously done from years gone back, and go to carolcox.com, click on the Go button, and you can listen to the older shows. And if you have ideas, drop me an email, or if you want to give us a tip, we'll take those too and see if we can incorporate them into the show. You can also pick us up on stream, live stream, anywhere at kwai1080am.com or carolcox.com. Just click on the live listen to, and you're right on and listening in. And there's a slight delay, so just be aware that if you are going to be listening to it and you're going to call in, try to anticipate what we're going to say. Read our minds. No, not really. Just if you have something, just know that there's a slight delay in the broadcast over the Internet. So being aware of that, you still can have fun and join in. And give us a call here at the station, or go to kwai.com, 1080am.com. And if you're interested in the show or coming in doing an interview or something, contact Barry, the owner. And I would recommend that you do that if you have an issue that you think the media won't cover or what have you. There's ways to get it on the air, folks. So anyway, welcome to call in 524-1080, and today is just kind of, there's a number of things we're going to talk about. I got one caller there waiting, but we're going to talk about the Ethics Commission. But real quickly, I mentioned Victoria Marks, the Honorable Michael Lilly. Michael Lilly was the former Attorney General, as you may recall, and he is quite prominent in the community. Stephen Silva, a commissioner, retired military, National Guards and what have you. Stanford, B.C. Ewan, engineer commissioner. Honorable Ricky May Amano, retired judge. Honorable Aline Sumori, retired judge. So something's wrong with this thing called ethics. Either the mayor has the ability to influence or something, because this thing with Chuck Tato is puzzling. And the commission now, and then I see it also written in today's paper, but it's been out there already, that they are requiring now the workers to do in 6-minute increments, write down what it is that they're doing. So I'm a little puzzled by that, because what if you're driving down the highway and you're on the phone talking to a client or a person calling in that is you, and you're trying to get, you got to pull over, hit brakes in the middle of the freeway, and I'm not being absurd, because if you look at the absurdity that is being suggested that these people do, clearly the allegations are that there's this complaint was filed, and the commission decided, well, we don't want it investigated from this aspect. We want this particular aspect of it investigated. And I didn't know they had so much control over what is done on a daily basis by the... It sounds like meddling. I thought the commissioners, there are rules, and there are state law and city laws, and there are whistleblowing laws and all of that that are clearly defined. And so, therefore, should be involved at a different point, in my opinion. But maybe the system is so out of whack and so influenced by politics that I won't say that the commissioners are lending themselves to politics, but I won't say they will or they're not. I can just say that if you look at this document that they submitted and produced, and in response to a FOIA or UIPA request, Uniform Information Practice request, it's so horribly redacted, substantially redacted, that it just makes no sense. I know you protect the interests of people, but when you tell the public, tell your investigators what they can and shouldn't be investigating, I don't get that one. And Tato does not have my vote for a man of ethics, because I've had personal experience where he has washed, basically covered for DeJew and others. And I have fought other people, referred other people to him, and clearly there were violations, and they were washed. So the entire process is flawed. And again, what does that mean? That means they can go and have a $200 glass of wine with the developers or whomever and whatever, and then in turn, they can then have Colleen Hanabusin come and represent them and then be appointed to Hart. So this is how entrenched, how substantially woven, infiltrated, or infested our government, local government is, and being influenced by the rail, the project itself. There is one come to mind, Kimberly Pine, the city councilwoman, is looking to increase funding to hire and allow, pay the lifeguards to be on duty in the early morning hours. As we've talked, many of the people drown or done, they drown before the lifeguards man their stations. Well, the mayor and then Mark Rigg, the director, is objecting to that. Why? Because every nickel and dime, they want to shave it and save it, funnel it to the rail. And you might say, well, that's not true. There's records. Bull. That means that there are city employees don't want to do that because they got their jobs to perform, and they get performance evaluations. And so there you are. There is so much money being held back and then diverted to the rail projects. Simple projects, even the trash, even the Environmental Services Division, even the Parks Division. You go on and on and on. Ocean safety, same thing, monies. But as we pointed out last week about the boat, that the rescue boat, I wrote an article, I posted it up on carolcox.com, and if you're interested, you can see that we found that in 2 years ago that the mayor and others were boasting that they donated a boat, HCDA donated a boat to the city. We got answers. Finally, Mark Riggs responded. And I must admit, the initial message to him I sent and put Honolulu.gov rather than G-O-V. But I also sent him a note to the communications persons before the show, and they didn't respond to that either. So my part on sending the wrong email address was just completely a mistake on my part. But then again, we follow up to ask, are you coming on the show? Are you going to answer our questions? And we didn't get a response. So we did finally get one, and there are some of the questions were not sufficiently answered. But a couple of things that were in the press release that the mayor and HCDA and Mark Riggs represented, they made representations that were just completely, grossly overstated and not accurate. They in the press release, they said, well, we're going to put in a horse for jet skis and what have you, and we're going to house the boat there. Now I've learned that the city is going to pay, now is paying $960 a month to park the boat there, but the boat just arrived, so they've been paying since last year, and the amount indicated in their answers was $960. You're talking about a fleecing. No boat exists, but yet we were paying for it. But then the jet skis, why would you store jet skis in a slip that you don't even have an office? So we're going to follow up on that and see. But again, no horse. The city stood there and allowed the HCDA and village ward villages to make representations that did not come out to be true, factual. HCDA still holds the title to the boat. The boat just arrived. We've been paying money to store the boat. They say they were giving us a state-of-the-art, basically, a really fine facility. We use lifeguards to go in and fix it, and they indicated they spent a couple $1,000s to clean it up. They also indicated HCDA said that we're going to build a horse and a game plank and a ramp, put $18,000. The city say, no, they paid for it. So these are questions, again, why is the mayor so busy making representations that were not true? Well, I suspect this mayor is so eager to fleece the taxpayer on behalf of big business that just another reason we shouldn't trust and we should vote him out as soon as we can. Maybe we should have an early election. But again, go to carolcox.com and you can see that. And the callers that called in earlier, go back in 524-1080 if you'd like to. And again, carolcox.com, you can find the answers that we got from the city. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments or questions. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I have the article in front of me. I perused it more carefully than before, and I'll try to highlight. The stress has to do with staff at the Ethics Commission and with Toto, and in terms of personnel and control of the budget, it's done by the corporate counsel, Danik Leong. She is the corporate counsel for the city. Now, she has the power, if the mayor sues the city council, she has the power to act as their attorney. If the council sues the mayor, she has the power to act on the part. She has a great deal of power. And the whole, it violates every aspect, the whole operation of quality management. When she talks, there's a whistleblower they won't name, and the article will not give his name. And he has had a problem with Toto, whatever that might be, but they won't. They hired a special lawyer, Anna Sneed, independently hired by the commission to investigate Toto.
So you say he is, they won't give his name? How do we know it's a he?
No, the article will not divulge the name of the staffer who is involved in this process.
No, you meant, you said he. I was wondering if you knew it was a he.
Oh, no.
Oh, does the article. Well, let's do some. You're from San Francisco, and I'm from Mississippi, so I think we could do a little Sherlock Holmes here, Sherlock.
We can.
So listen to this now. This is just me now, and you know, for what it's worth. So we don't have an army of people there at the office because they've been always short of staff. That's what's shocking is that the article today in Star Advertiser says ethics panel put staff on short leash.
Yep.
Well, first of all, they've always been on a short leash because they don't have enough manpower, and then they got a guy who sits there and dictated his level, number one, and then you got a commission that sits there and dictates. And also, they are actively washing things, too. They can be political, too. So,
yeah.
But again, let's just go back and do a little bit of basic investigation. So, they won't tell the name, and in that document I have it, it says they won't tell us the name. And we don't know if it's a he or her or she. So, we list the commissioners, and you can get this right off the webpage, the commissioner's webpage. Or the Ethics Commission. Executive Director is Charles W. Tato, and legal counsel, right?
Yep.
Mr. Tato has three people working for him.
Yep.
William Bill Schoenfeld, he's Investigator 3. Lisa P. Parker, Legal Clerk 3. And Christine Bigornia, Legal Clerk 1. Now, I'm not saying they should disclose a name. They have their reasons. But You see, there's such a cloak and dagger effort. So what part of this should we respect about the Ethics Commission? When, if you see this document, I encourage all of you, if you want to see an overreaction and keeping the public, treating them like mushrooms, you know, keeping them in the dark and, you know, feeding them manure, this is that classic example. They're going to hide from us, but we don't have to go. Is it critical that we know? We know that, and in that document, so there's three people that work for the man.
Yep.
So, you know, they can't disclose, but the most painful part of that was, I'm trying to find that, it's a 30-page document, and I've had a lot of documents redacted.
Yes.
This is a complete blackout.
My goodness.
I mean,
I don't doubt it.
You know, I mean, and when you think, wow, this is, wait, let's go back to the basics. This is about the interests of the taxpayer and the public.
Yes.
Period, right?
Yes.
How much of our concerns are to be treated as secrets now and how they are addressed when we see flaws and address flaws? How much of the redress should be covered up to protect the interests of whom, right? And
yes.
But here, the investigation is the result of a 2015 email sent by, they blacked that out, to Toto. Although initially addressed, the email to Toto, and I'm trying to read this with blackouts. Subsequently, a series of emails to Deputy Corporation Counsel, blackout, and indicated that blackout email to be considered a complaint. I interviewed, this is the investigator is Anna Elinto Sneed, Esquire. She's doing the investigation. I interviewed Blank on December 9, 2015 in discussion the issues and concerns raised in October 20, 2015 email did not identify any statutes or regulations, ethics related or otherwise, which Blank contends were violated by Toto, rather described concerns as a problem with management and personality, quotes. After the interviewing, I sought clarification from the commission on the scope of this investigation. I pointed out that Blank was concerned about the overall, quote, management of the Ethics Commission's office, as well as Blank, particularly employment situation. So the way they blanked this out, I think I now know who it is.
Well,
we gave a list of people. There was Bill Schoenfeld and Parker, and when they blank out the names, you know, if you only got a little bit of a half inch and then you got an inch to black out, to cover out the name, clearly it's, you know.
Okay, this is what the paper said, that the internal complaint, and this is Mark's, there are no details, and we're not going to give you the name of the staff member.
Right. Mushroom.
I'm the dirt underneath your. I'm not the Mississippi whatever pigeon or whatever you call it. But
mockingbird, brother.
I'll learn pretty soon. I'm the San Francisco foghorn.
Yeah. Well, the commissioners confirmed that they did not want me to conduct a management audit of the office's operations. Rather, the scope of this investigation was to be confined to Blank's complaint about Blank employment situation, which characterized as an, quote, ethics complaint in Marks and Sue, blah, blah. With the foregoing clarification in mind, I proceeded to complete the investigation. And this is the complaint allegation, focus of investigation. It should be noted that this investigation is not and should not be considered an investigation into whether Toto violated the revised charter of Honolulu Article 6 Standards of Conduct. As revised charter indicates, the decision on whether a violation of standards of conduct has occurred is for the commission to decide. But if they're blacking out everything and concealing and not giving any, then what's going on over there?
I followed E.W. Deming's quality management very closely. 5 books, etc., apply to everything. This is total absence of any kind of quality management. Mm-hmm. One of the comments made in the paper was shortly after there were allegations against the Controller Garcia and so forth, that Toto violated his ability to either inform the public and or do anything. Now, he gave me 125 pages on Nestor Garcia, mm-hmm. and I've been able to share that with FIBA legal companies, corporations, mm-hmm. whatever. And he was very good for me. He gave me everything I could possibly want.
Well, that's good for you.
Nestor Garcia.
But let's go back to this rather than the rare occasion to get to talk about a specific. So
yes, sure.
It should be noted that this investigation is not and should not be considered an investigation where the Taro violated revised Charter of Honolulu, Article 6 of Standards of Conduct. As revised, Charter indicates a decision whether it by the commission. Similarly, the investigation is not and should not be considered an investigation into whether Toto violated Hawaii Rules professional conduct. Again, I repeat that. When he continued to prosecute ethics complaints against certain council members.
Yes.
Right. I mean, the council member cases, parenthesis, under Section 8.5 enforcement of the professional rules is the purview of the Hawaii Supreme Court and Disciplinary Board. So my question is, if that is the case, then why was it not referred to the Supreme Court, Disciplinary Board?
Well, I know that Garcia settled out of court.
No. Forget Garcia now. I know, but we're talking about this. Garcia's down at Channel 2 now dictating what you watch on news now. So just, I don't know if many of you know that. He is now the news editor. So what you see on Channel 2 is substantially influenced by Nestor Garcia.
Okay, enough, all right.
Yeah, but you know, that's what I'm told, and maybe it'll change, who knows. But, again, enforcement of the professional rules is a purview of the Hawaii Supreme Court and the discipline, but how does it get there? So does Marks and others decide, well, Toto overstepped his bounds and went ahead and investigated that, we're going to dismiss that, freeze that action, and we're going to refer it to this Disciplinary Council of the Supreme Court, ODC. Right?
That's wonderful. Yes, thank you.
But did they do that?
I don't know.
Yeah. So, again, rather, this is a human resource investigation as such. The focus of the investigation is to determine whether Toto violated any rules, codes of conduct, or performance standards applicable to him as executive director of commission. Well, if he go ahead and act on something and they take and suspend him for 30 days, wouldn't that be code of conduct?
Yes.
So I'm puzzled. I mean, this is a problem when you're reading what lawyers write. They're more sophisticated and they understand things a little more complex. So I don't have any real comment about that because what you and I as laymen see something and we go, oh, yeah, that's what it should be. But Toro Financial Services, this was taken from DCCA's, Department of Commerce and Consumer Affairs, Master Territorial Financial Services, Domestic Profit Corporation, purpose to conduct business as an insurance agency, to make loans, to provide real estate services, to provide services primarily for financial institutions. And this was Territorial Savings. The officer listed in that company is Kurt D. Caldwell as of January 1, 2015.
Oh!
Well, you know, I mean...
I thought his wife was involved in this thing too or something.
I don't know, and just because you're a member and you don't mean that he has done anything wrong, but again, you know, the question is, it's real estate and TODs and involve real estate and what have you, you know, so I don't know.
Anyway, he's like another... income besides his mayor's salary, right?
I'm just busy, so busy looking at how he's screwing up this government. I haven't had time to figure out what he owns or don't.
Oh, Mr. Cox, this could well be your finest hour.
Yeah.
Because you're remarkable.
But
this last thing you brought up is far-fetched, but it does violate Glass-Steagall, whereby a bank only made loans and so forth, and then they went into private insurances and mortgages and all these things. They're not legal. It goes against Glass-Steagall, and that was one of the reasons we had 2008.
Yeah. Well, leaving it, I shouldn't say this, though. Just, you know, the glass eagle, it's the buzzard. Yeah. No, I'm just playing around words. But there's something amiss here, man, that with the, there's certain things you cherish and you honor, and it's like the flag, right? Now, I will never wrap myself up in it because I can't find one big enough. But, you know, but again, it's certain things we honor, right? They're dear to us. You put it in your heart and it's there. It's etched in your mind. You will never violate that, right?
Yep.
Where are these people? Where are their moral compass? Where is that center of the line? That line that says, you know, I'm in this capacity as a mayor. I'm in this capacity as a governor. I told the people that. So clearly something in my mind said I have a connection of right and wrong. And then all of a sudden they forget what is right. And maybe they never knew what was right. And never intended to do what was right. You know?
That's greed.
Yeah.
Greed and power.
You know what gets to me is, the mayor's been going with the city council. They've been... Well, you know what? I really want to help the homeless, and we have to. But I have to have a staff so we can figure out where the affordable housing is in the town. How to build affordable housing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he needs I think he said something like $300,000-$400,000 that the city council will not give to him, so he can have this extra staff. Mm-hmm. Well, come on, guy. If you really, really care about the homeless folks. What do you call that? His compassionate disruption and all that. Come on, take it out of your darn pocket. I know you have some in your pocket. If you really, really, really care at all, you would really hire your own staff. Take it out of your own pocket.
Well. Yeah, I know it's probably connecting the dots in the situation, but you know that situation I'm talking about, the rescue boat? That is a big lie, and why would the mayor pay more than $13,000 a year to put a boat in a place that he claimed was given to him, but he never received it, it was never given, and we're paying for a resource that should be out? That agency saved lives, right?
Oh, yeah.
Then you would think they would have a state-of-the-art rescue facility, because that harbor, mind you, is critical to our economy and to our total existence here, the coming and goings.
But it's a moral issue, too.
Right. And so to go to that extent to lie and to make, this boat is a state-of-the-art and having it is great, and the boat don't even exist. That brother, that takes a lot. I mean, you know, it reminds me of the time when Noah was making his presentation to God to say, you know, look.
You know, it's your caller that's on with me right now. It's very simple. He could be a staff of one to solve the whole damn problem.
I proposed to them many times, the city council and the mayor. I said, hey, and the governor. But I got to talk to the governor personally for about 5 minutes and try to explain to them. Listen, within months, we could have the chronic homeless problem solved. but well, by putting people in tiny houses, and it's going to cost a small amount compared to what it is costing us all, you know. And
did you say costly or cockiness? You say costly or cockiness? Yeah, no, I mean, this. Hey, guys, now remember now, this thing built around this boat is the Howard Hughes Corporation that has Kiwala Basin. This mayor stands and lies with HCDA and lies and make a presentation and representation that all of this is given to us, and they're going to give us a hoist, and they're going to put jet skis in it, and then they declare in their answers to me, we don't have a hoist, and we don't have... You know, and we paid for the ramp that they claimed that they were going to pay for.
Yep.
That may sound small, but it's a big step to educate us, to provide us with a perfect example of to what extent a politician will go, especially if he's in the pocket of someone, and the willingness.
How much do you think he gets from the Howard Hughes Corporation in his campaign?
I don't know. I will check.
Howard Hughes just has a suite for $37 million.
I just heard about that.
Yeah, I bought two of them.
And yeah, there's a cheaper one for $35 million.
Yeah,
I want that one. Man.
And go down there and look at some of the commercial activity down there. They're going to benefit from commercial operation of a harbor that is owned by the state and the people of the state. But we hand it over to them, and then instead of putting in their own safety mechanism, lifeguards and patrol and buy their own, HCDA. Go and buy the boat. Take state money and buy the boat. And then the city comes along and goes, Jethro and his squad, it's a fine boat. It's a state-of-the-art boat. It don't even exist. Oh, don't put that in there. But we're going to take three city workers and put them aboard the boat, and we're going to service our Lord Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
Right? And we're going to use this to protect, and the people, by the way now, Anthony Ching said, for years, long time, the people, the community has asked for this. Well, what took you so dang long? If it's saving lives, do we need Howard Hughes to show up and put a little money out there before the value of life of a local person became of interest?
This is a microcosm of everything.
Yeah. I purposely... had an interest in this boat thing, not about boats, planes, and trains, but it just so happened we have a train that's a problem, and we now have a boat. What's next, a plane? you laughing, man. The spruce goose is looking for a place.
There you go. We have cocks now, but where is Fossey when we needed him?
Yeah, but imagine... So anything down there, anybody that think that they're in good with the mayor, when a big company comes, you're going to suck wind. He'll push you aside, and now you ask, how much does he get? I don't know, but I don't think he worked for free.
Yeah, those pesky homeless people. We got to get rid of them. Howard Hughes Corporation is here in town, and we're going to have multi-million-dollar places for... people to live.
Yeah.
Can't have these homeless folks around.
Yeah, he's down there chasing the homeless off of Kaka'ako because guess what, folks? Howard Hughes is coming. And everybody's standing at the edge of the water, the homeless, with their last belongings that they were able to grab before he and his Hitler crew came in and took it from them. And then in turn, they're standing at the edge of the water saying, should we jump? And he's saying, whatever you do, just get off of our property. And then you look at it, a lot of it wasn't even city property. But he was driving them off. So that brings me to this question. There's a guy named David Ige, and I have a little respect for him, thinking he's first in now, and maybe he's going to do right. But here, David Ige, they are scheduling a ribbon cutting and a lay presentation for the boat and naming the boat a Hawaiian name.
Hawaii.
Yeah. I think maybe he should use a southern name and say, screw all of y'all, name it that, you know.
Well, Howard Hughes often doesn't use their name. They use Ward Development.
Right, and that's if you look at the press release, that's who it is, Ward Development.
Yeah, and here's the best. This is the best line phrase I've had following it for a long time. This comes from Anna Russo, and I thought, well, anyway. But she said that when they go before the federal government and they're going to ask for a loan, line of credit, and or any kind of money, they should use the term, we need this money as a refresher budget.
Right.
Refresher budget.
How about going a little bit toward refresher ethics?
Yeah. There's no, it's they're unconscionable, Mr. Cox.
Yeah, but anyway, this is serious, folks, because one of the puzzling things that we as taxpayers and citizens, we're not the atmosphere isn't void of examples where we can hold our feet to the fire. They give us clear examples on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
And for some reason, we the people tend to miss that. I don't know if it's that we've just become completely complacent and numb to all of it, and that we're so connected to trying to eke out a living now that we're so fragile that just at any given time we could lose it.
When there's enough pain, there will be passion. When there is enough passion, there will be agitation and action.
Now, then you need to apply some pain.
Well, I agree. I don't know how. I'm ready to lie down in front of a tractor.
Well, make sure it has. Is this a steel-on-steel tractor?
It's the whole damn thing.
But no, I mean, this. I'm laughing, but this. If you want to measure Kurt Caldwell's character, just look at that. And if you want to measure David Ige's character, let's see if he goes down there this week and hold a press conference proclaiming that this boat is for the people. But in fact, the people have been down there before Howard Hughes even knew about this place, and
where,
they didn't have a boat.
Mr. Cox, where is that?
Kiwalo Basin.
Okay.
But, you know, so there are some serious things, and we got quite a few other things that we're going to be talking about, marijuana and cocaine and all of that. Serious. People losing their boat and all that, you know, lost at sea. We're going to be bringing a lot of that stuff in, and it all connects. And so you just don't know what is really going on, who's really steering your boat, so to speak.
You know what breaks my heart is the generation that follows here in Hawaii, you know. On a personal note, my dear son, he decides the heck with Hawaii. You know, he's not going anywhere. And so him and his girlfriend went off to Portland, Oregon, and he's loving it. He says the prices are a whole lot better. The rent, unbelievable compared to here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everything. And he says, you know, well, screw Hawaii, you know. He was born and raised here and everything. And I thought he was going to be here for the rest of his life. But unfortunately, a whole lot of that generation are figuring out there's no life here for them. You know, there's not even a possibility.
Well, there's a whole. I will share something else with you. I attended a seminar and on suicide out at West Oahu College.
Oh.
Let me tell you something, guys. It's not a pretty picture for Hawaii.
Oh.
And so we rank up there, not just young people. We rank up there very high, like almost closing into number one in the nation. So. What do you mean? Oh, you and I are old, folk.
Hold out.
Well, I'm 18.
And you know where you're going telling that.
I'm 18.
But no, this is something that really... I've invited that group of that panel that and the people that were making that presentation to come on, and I'm going to allow them the 2 hours, because when you hear the stories, and there's a lot to be learned from that, and things can get better, and they have a plan that can make things better, and we can deal with things a lot better. And we all have bad days, but we don't know what the other person has, and we don't share their pain. And so it's a very...
You know, I did have something with the political class. They just don't... They don't get it. I don't understand. Don't they have kids and all that too? And they want. Well, I guess they have. They have enough money in their pocket. They can have their kids go to the best college.
Who is that? You mean the politician?
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah. No, they don't understand that. You know, you're talking about the new generations are going to. Carry on,
Hawaii. Well, they understand, in my opinion, they do understand, and that's why they will screw you, cut your throat,
exactly.
So that they can get it. That's see, they understand the hardship. They know that. I mean, they see that. It's just that, so they climb on you and abuse you and submit themselves to the man with the money, and they don't care as long as they get their own. And that's what we got to take out, the personal aspects of government people.
Machiavelli in the 14th century said, "Don't use your own money if you want to be the prince."
Right.
And they'll use the taxpayer money.
Yeah, use their money. And that's
right.
what this game is about. You go to Kiwala Basin. Don't use their money. Use our resources. Don't go and buy land and dig a hole and make a wharf or a pier or make a harbor. Just take what it is. Well, how do you get your hands on something that belongs to the people? Use the people to get it for you.
You take credit.
Well, that's what Hart keeps doing. And they're getting the money from us.
This picture is so simple. I'm serious. I'm not a genius yet, but I understand this one. I tend not to understand many things, but I understand this one is simple. You got the ones that want what we have, and they got to bridge the gap. And they bridge the gap by the most available resource for cheap is our politician.
Yep.
Simple equation.
Simple.
They want, we have, they have control, so get the people that control it, that can vote, and pimp them and give them a free drink of wine and buy them a bottle of wine and take them off to Washington and wine and dine them and give them a second job for pennies, and we'll take billions.
Thank you, Frank Fossey, too. Thank you, sir.
All righty. Well, anyway, you guys got anything else? Because we're down to the... Well, we got about 6 minutes, 7 minutes.
No, the last thing I wanted to say was that it's all interconnected, everything we've talked about, and if the public only realize how they're being defrauded and policed, and I don't know when the pain starts, but maybe that's the only solution.
Yes. Well,
and thank you very much for having
all of us.
Well,
I'm hoping that the governor does not lend himself to this ribbon-cutting thing. Hold on 1 second. Caller, thank you for calling real quick. Comment or question?
Yeah, I just listening to this long, long discussion all this afternoon. And what I've got out of it is that when I get reincarnated, I want to be reincarnated as a politician. Seems like your discussions, they're the people that make all the money. Thank you very much.
All righty. Thank you, Ed.
Now, you must let him speak as often as he would like to speak. That is absolutely essential. Give him a whole program to himself. He does not deal. He is in Plato's cave,
yeah.
And he is just looking at illusions on a wall. Thank you very much, Mr.
All righty.
Okay, you, sir.
All righty. Thank you. Dave, you there? Anyway, that's going to be the show for today, and we'll be talking some more. But, yeah, we're going to be looking, and there's some discussions about authorities using drugs and all. We're going to get to the bottom of it and see what's happening. You know, if chemo got to go for having a pipe, then people in higher levels of government out doing drugs going to have to go to jail or something, or give up their jobs. We can't have disparity in such, you know, conditions such as that. We want to know what the heck is going on. So, caller, well, thank you. Real quick, go ahead with your comment.
Oh, okay, Gerald. I guess I got cut off. But anyway, I was just saying that the younger folks are going to have to really get politically involved. I whenever I see young folks at the state capitol, city hall, I tell them, hey, guys, you guys are the ones who are going to have to be living this, either this nightmare or maybe the dream, you know.
Yeah.
And it's up to you guys, you know, because there's not long to start fixing things.
Yep.
You know?
Okay. Well, we'll talk next week, and hopefully we get something going here. But keep in mind, let's see if the governor. I'm waiting for this. Let's see if he's really in touch with the people.
Yeah, what is it? When is this news conference?
It's supposed to be somewhere in the middle of the week or somewhere. That's I heard the people talking. I was down there taking pictures of the boat, and I heard some of the guys talking, and I thought, oh, that's an interesting.
Oh,
and,
good.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I'd like to be right there.
But we'll see, and we'll see if the governor is made of his salt, worth his salt or whatever. So, all right, well, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Care.
Aloha. Aloha. Anyway, real quick, down at Kehi Lagoon, we also posted this at carolcox.com. You know, DLNR. Now, you heard me talk about the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and they have a great responsibility of protecting the lands and preventing pollution and protecting the wildlife and the resources, and they go to the extent of incarcerating or throwing out little old men for feeding cats, as you heard me talk about. So I took an interest in going down to Kehi Lagoon, and they're worried about the environment, right? So get this. You go down there, and I talked about treated lumber, and I filed a complaint with the state health department. You should see this place, the contaminants that's laying around, oil stains on the ground. But they believe that they're immune, even though they are the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Yet another mark on this Suzanne case. You know, she came with the great concerns for the environment. But right under her thumb, her daily management, is this god-awful site of contaminated woods, you know, treated lumber, tires. And we all talk about mosquitoes and hybrids. You know, just refrigerators, washers, dryers, fire extinguishers just laying around, rusting, rotting on state property. And then to top that off, you got a leaking fuel that have leaked from the adjoining fuel tank farm there. So I don't believe that she has the mindset for protecting Hawaii's environment. I believe that what she's doing, she has her own little mission, like many of us in the environmental community, and we get in and we do nothing. And then when I, as an individual, file a complaint with them, they frown on it and take issue with it. And literally, you know, I have no investment in this other than just do the right thing. So we're going to, if you're looking at that, and, you know, they talk about alien species. You hear them talk. And I'm all about protecting the environment. But it's kind of ironic and sickening at the same time that what you hear them talk about, alien species, we need $5 million, alien species. And then the same agency, just recently now, sent out a press release announcing the presence and the opening of trout season on Kauai. Now, some of you fishermen might get mad, but you see, if the agency is worried about alien species, then the trout is not native to Hawaii. So why would you, on one hand, be promoting alien species fishing season that's managed every year in waters of the state, and yet you don't worry about that. You promote it, but then you talk about we need more money for alien species. Fish eat fish, so the o'opu and other native species, or the opi, and all of those things. So I guess just a tug at the coattail to say what is really going on. We'll see you next week. This is the Carol Cox Show, and thank you for listening.
Far away, and then there.
Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.